Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time now for Ask an Expert. Every weekday at this time, we're giving you direct access to top experts in various fields. Today, the program DACA, which allows undocumented people who were brought to the U.S. as children to remain in the country, is facing yet another legal challenge after a federal judge yesterday ruled the program is illegal.
The policy is expected to make its way to the Supreme Court for a third time, leaving so-called Dreamers in a prolonged legal limbo. To answer questions about that and more, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Stefan Santa Ramirez, professor in the Educational Leadership and Policy Department at the University at Buffalo. If you have questions you'd like answered, please email us at askus@kcbsradio.com. Thanks for joining us to discuss this.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So this same judge, this is, the second time he's ruled in this case?
Correct. The first time was in July of 2021, and then yesterday again, the same ruling, which a lot of folks anticipated that he wasn't going to have a change of heart. So yeah, now it's most likely going to be appealed and moving on to the Supreme Court. Correct.
How does this version of DACA differ from the Obama-era version?
So it really doesn't. So it is we got to do a quick little history lesson here. So it was enacted in 2012 under the Obama administration as a result of grassroots organizers and a plethora of allies and undocumented immigrants and students themselves that pushed the administration for the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program executive order, right? So it was enacted. The Trump administration in 2017 rescinded the DACA program, and then it was reenacted under the Biden administration, unfortunately. And it was reenacted in the same ways that the Obama administration had initially enacted. So the same rules, same guidelines, same protections from deportation, same two-year renewal program, temporary work permits and Social Security numbers and things of that nature. So it doesn't defer as a result of the Obama or what's currently happening with DACA in regards to its eligibility requirements, except now, because of this ruling from Judge Andrew Hannon in Texas, folks cannot apply for it if they weren't already, quote-unquote, grandfathered into the program from before 2021.
And what are the problems, as you understand it, that he finds with DACA?
Well, he's saying that it's unlawful. And that's why he initially blocked it and said that there was issues in regards to economic issues by providing these protections and giving some kind of rights to an eligible amount of people that currently have DACA and are beneficiaries. But unfortunately, that's where a lot of folks are advocating against this kind of thought process and ideology, because it is in fact untrue based on my research and a lot of other faculty and scholars who do research on this topic. And there has been a lot of economic growth from those who are DACA beneficiaries versus it being an actual problem to society writ large. DACA beneficiaries have been contributing, and outside of those that don't have DACA, have been contributing greatly to our American society. Thus, it is not considered unlawful to a lot of folks, right? So that's why it's continuously in conversation in political debates currently as well.
How are Dreamers navigating this?
Yeah, so I won't be able to speak on behalf of someone who may identify as a dreamer, but you know, those who may, I actually work with a lot of college students who are undocumented, both with DACA and without DACA, for a variety of reasons. And you know, it's been a challenge based on my conversations and research with and for this community. It's been a constant challenge because it's constantly in limbo, right? This was never meant to be a permanent solution. It was a Band-Aid solution, right? It was an executive order under the Obama administration until Congress developed a clear pathway for permanent residency to eventual citizenship. And that, unfortunately, hasn't been passed and has been going back and forth to Congress since 2021, originally under the DREAM Act. Recently, there's been proposed the American Dream and Promise Act, which, again, is another way, a pathway to permanent residency to citizenship for immigrant folks that don't necessarily just identify as dreamers, right? I think we do this dreamer narrative as sometimes a deserving narrative, like a certain portion of immigrant communities in our country are more deserving than others. So I actually want to challenge that dreamer narrative and just talk about immigrant folks largely and their brilliance and talent and assets they bring into our country and how they can contribute largely.
Yeah, I can't remember the number of politicians I've heard over the past few years say they went to Washington to seek a permanent solution to the DACA problem, and it just right. never gets done. Why doesn't it get done?
Well, unfortunately, there has been no bipartisan agreement. So it reaches Congress, and then Democrats and Republicans can't decide or agree where they're more in favor of a specific proposed pathway to citizenship. So that's where we are today. That's where we've been for several decades. And hopefully things will shift in the coming year. However, that's what's happened thus far. There has been no bipartisan agreement.
Are you worried about this getting to the Supreme Court?
I personally, no. it could be, right? Because if we look at who's on the Supreme Court, we can assume how some folks are feeling about immigration policies and undocumented immigrants in this country. We've been seeing a lot of anti-immigrant policies and laws being passed just this year alone in various states, including Florida with their SB 1718 bill that they recently enacted, which is an anti-immigrant bill that's targeting immigrant communities. Right. So we could assume what's going to happen, but we never know what's going to happen. But it is time for Congress to act and hopefully agree on a proposed pathway to permanent residency and see the benefits of having so many beautiful and brilliant undocumented immigrants and hopefully soon to these citizens in this country and their contributions and added value to our country and society largely.
Well, you work in higher education. What do you think the impact on higher education is going to be from this case, these rulings?
Well, you know, this is nothing new to us. Those who work with and for undocumented students in higher education settings, right? We've been challenging these battles for decades, right? I just think it's another way to highlight that things are still happening. I think for some folk, these conversations aren't at the forefront as they used to be. You know, I think when we think of when the Trump administration was in office between, you know, I mean, we'll say 2015 to 2020, including when they were running for office. You know, it was at the forefront of like different news media outlets and, you know, whenever you turned the TV on, there was like a lot of conversation about immigration policy and what's going on with undocumented immigrants in the country. Right now under the Biden administration, it's kind of a little less subtle, but like we're experiencing right now, right? Things are still moving and shaking in regards to these laws and policies, and we can't ignore them. So, you know, I think it's a reminder to folks in and outside of higher education to keep pushing, to advocate for more inclusionary laws at all levels, at the federal, state, and college level. And I think this is just a reminder that we have a lot more work to do in support of our students, those that are currently enrolled and are undocumented, those who are prospective students, and our future students.
You're striking a hopeful tone, but I just have to ask, how would higher education institutions be impacted if DACA gets repealed?
Well, That will probably have to depend on the state and the institutional policies that they have in place, right? So there's a lot of institutional power for folks to make different policies just at the college level that does continue to support undocumented students, right, and offer in-state tuition. There's a plethora of undocumented students currently without DACA that are in their college settings, right? So they're already navigating higher education without having DACA because maybe they just aren't eligible for the program, or they started college after the program was struck down by the judge in Texas, right? So again, this is nothing new. We would just have to figure out how can we navigate now having more students that don't have DACA, because they're already there. They're already at our institutions, already trying to navigate higher education and having a lot of higher ed professionals and student affairs administrators and faculty working alongside and with these students already.
You know, this may seem like an adjacent issue, not a direct impact, but we've heard some Republican presidential candidates saying the first thing they do when they got to office would be to abolish the Department of Education. Does that play into this conversation?
You know, I don't know a lot about that, so I'm not going to speak on that. But I will say that is a concern. That is a concern that there's an abolishment of the Department of Education, which makes me really worried about what is the future for our educational system if we have a no Department of Education and leaders that are advocating for education, more specifically public education, and those who receive state funding. So, yeah, it's an issue. Not sure if that's going to be a reality and if that's even possible. But, you know, we have been unfortunately attacked at the educational level for so long. And we can see this with attacks on critical race theory and what we're teaching in K-12 and higher education settings. So this is just another targeted attack on educators who are advocating and teaching true intellectual history, which includes the racist history in America.
DACA now, is it the responsibility of the schools to make sure the students are citizens?
No, it's not the responsibility of the students. So, excuse me, that's a federal guideline. So, but I would say, or I would propose that folks that have power and privilege in higher education settings actively work with their legislators to hopefully work towards Congress accepting one of the proposals for a pathway to citizenship.
You know, I was wondering as you were speaking how all this plays into the lack of civics education in this country. You mentioned earlier that, and I see in some of the articles I've read, that the proponents of DACA argued before the judge that nobody can prove that there's been harm to the states or additional expenses to the states from these kids, these dreamers.
Correct.
But it seems like folks don't exactly know how these pieces all fit together between state, local governments, educational systems, the federal government. It just seems like people zero in on one thing, which may or may not be true, and that colors everything they think about this.
Well, I think that is the reality. Unfortunately, there's a lot of folks, especially our Republican legislators across the country and in various states, that are spewing false narratives without any proof, right? Without really digging deep into the literature, the research, statistics, qualitative studies that really show the impact of undocumented students and immigrant communities largely to our society, and unfortunately are using very racist, nativist language and rhetoric to make their cases, but there really isn't any factual backing behind what they're saying, right? So there's no proof that folks that are coming into this country or living in this country or, you know, basically were raised in this country are causing harm, right? Or are stealing or are doing anything, right? Or are terrorists or domestic terrorists. None of that is factual. However, there's, for some reason, this painted racist picture specifically targeting Black and brown undocumented folks. And if you look at who are DACA beneficiaries, the majority of them are Black or Latinx beneficiaries, right? So it is a constant target on Black and brown bodies in our country. And this is just another tactic to take away the energy on what's really going on in our country to target a specific group of people that are really only contributing and not harming our country, right? So, again, I think this is just an ongoing tactic, and unfortunately, our DACA beneficiaries and undocumented students and immigrant communities largely are being acted as pawns in these political debates.
How long do you expect the appeals process to take?
Based on history, forever, right? But hopefully, we can see some movement between now and the next election, next year. So that's what I believe a lot of us who are advocating on the ground, grassroots organizers, and just a lot of undocumented students and immigrant communities largely are really hoping for a quick turnaround, so that way this kind of limbo status is no longer, right? Because it's been over a decade since DACA was enacted and was always, again, supposed to be a Band-Aid approach. And here we are today, over a decade later, still having conversations of it being rescinded, reenacted, rescinded, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that Band-Aid's getting kind of old. Listen.
Right.
Thank you very much for joining us. That's Stefan Santa Ramirez, professor in the Educational Leadership and Policy Department at the University at Buffalo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.